is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated. 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Our quiet string of days with an extended warming trend will be ending soon, but today, a good bit of sunshine. High in the low to mid-70s, just about perfect. Partly cloudy, not as chilly tonight. Overnight low around 50. Tomorrow's high in the middle 70s. Will be dry during the day, but a good chance of showers by late Friday night, and showers and maybe some thunderstorms likely on Saturday as a cold front moves through the state. It'll be breezy and colder behind the front. 30s on Friday night, 50s for a high on Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Troy police have opened a death investigation after a 58-year-old man was found dead inside his home Wednesday. Police say the man's vehicle is also missing. Troy police are searching for a person of interest in the case. A judge is ordering DNA testing for the man arrested in connection to Anaya Blanchard's disappearance. Anaya was last seen on October 23rd in Auburn. The judge ordered the testing after prosecutors revealed DNA evidence from a man was found in Anaya's car. And the Salvation Army kicked off its annual Red Kettle campaign Wednesday. This year's goal is to raise $300,000. The Red Kettles will appear outside of 43 businesses and organizations in the Montgomery area. They are still looking for volunteer bell ringers to collect donations. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Why wait for Black Friday prices? Get them today at the Home Depot. Up to 40% off appliance special buys. But why stop there? You'll also get an extra $50 in instant savings on any Samsung top load laundry pair. If you're ready to clean up on Samsung laundry, the only place you should stop is here. Black Friday savings, early, now, at the Home Depot. More saving, more do it. U.S. only, while supplies last, gas, dry, extra, see store for details, valid through December 5th.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents and Doug.
Limu, when we're not telling people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, I've actually been moonlighting as a DJ.
What?
Check it!
Here's the good part!
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Sometimes you need things done around your house or land that your lawnmower or weed eater just can't handle. That's when you call Prattville Farm Center. They bring their own crew and equipment and clear whatever you need. They say no job is too small. I've been going to Prattville Farm Center for years, and I like dealing with hometown folks. They get the job done right and get it done quickly. If you have land that needs clearing, call Randy at Prattville Farm Center on South Memorial Drive in Prattville. Call 365-5400.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. Since 1963, Bernie has been the Montgomery-grown document technology leader in the River Region. During our 55 years, we have seen a lot of copier companies come and go. That's why we do more than just offer our clients copiers. We offer a diverse portfolio, including document capture and storage, digitizing your paper-based processes, and software to manage costs. Call me on my cell at 201-0199 and ask me about our managed print program where we can cut your printing costs in half. 201-0199.
Live local talk, the River Region's only 24-hour News Talk FM station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Ambassador Gordon Sondland testified in the impeachment inquiry Wednesday. He suspects President Trump wanted political investigations by Ukraine in exchange for aid.
Was there a quid pro quo? The answer is yes. Everyone was in the loop. It was no secret.
It's an embarrassment to our country. Not only did we win today, it's over.
Prince Andrew is stepping back from his royal duties as a result of his ties to Jeffrey Epstein.
Another Confederate statue comes down. This one was
was removed by government officials in North Carolina.
An ammonia leak in the Houston, Texas food bank forced the charity to toss out almost $3 million worth of fresh food.
The Nebraska Department of Motor Vehicles says it will start sharing their driver's license records with the Census Bureau, the first state in the nation to do so.
Two deer are alive thanks to some hunters in Michigan. The animals' antlers had become tangled together, so the hunters untangled them.
The terrible war in Iraq, and I helped lead the opposition against it.
To be commander-in-chief, there's no time for on-the-job training. I spent more time in the Situation Room, more time abroad, more time than anybody up here.
I also have actually done this work. I think experience should matter.
Washington experience is not the only experience that matters. There's more than 100 years of Washington experience on this stage, and where are we right now as a country?
I think the most recent example of your inexperience in national security and foreign policy came from your recent careless statement about how you as president would be willing to send our troops to Mexico.
That is outlandish, even by the standards of today's politics.
Are you saying that you didn't say that?
You seriously think anybody on this stage is proposing invading Mexico?
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome aboard, everyone. This is on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show. On a Thursday? Man, TGIFE? Thumbs up Thursday? Mm-hmm. All of that? Let me bring in Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Hello.
How you doing today, big guy?
I'm great.
69 degrees outside is absolutely gorgeous. We need to come up with a remote location that is by a large body of water where they serve adult beverages.
Indeed.
The show ratings would skyrocket.
See, I'm feeling better now when I start your show because I do the show before this, and I get to have like a rant an hour, so I feel like I get it all out, and then we can do a great show.
Then we can do a great show. I like that. First of all, I want to thank everyone for their kind comments about our interview with Jeff Sessions yesterday. Mm. We really appreciate those kind words and heard it from top to bottom, and really, really appreciate that. That's very nice of y'all to you humble us when you say those kind of things about us to our face.
No, and I had a lot of people go, wait, so Sessions called in? I'm like, no, he was here.
Yeah.
Like, really? How did Dan do that? Like, well, you know, yeah. I'm not going to question Dan's methods. I'm not going to reveal sources either.
Really? Sources or methods out here. Have you been noticing the ads on TV from the Poarch Creek Indians talking about $1 billion for Alabama coffers?
No. I don't watch much TV.
You're smart.
I cast everything.
You're smart.
But they're the Poarch Creek Indians are on?
Poarch Creek Indians are basically floating a proposal where if we'll do a compact with them and give them Class C gaming, you know, tables in the whole nine yards, that they'll basically pony up a big chunk of change for Alabama.
You know, well, we should at least consider.
Do you know who's against this? Victory Lane.
Yes.
The whole green track, the whole kit and caboodle. They want to be included in it also. Indians say no.
No, then you don't get the money.
Yeah, the wampum didn't come as big. So that's, and I talked to a legislator about that yesterday, and he said, oh, they're pushing that hard. They're pushing it really hard. So they feel now is the time. So we'll see what happens with this whole thing. 272-9228, any caller can get in on Sweet Creek Farm Market Gift Basket. Then first time callers will have their names put in twice. Don't forget, you can call 280-FARM and order your glazed ham or smoked ham. You can also get Boston Butts. We don't know the price of them yet for the game. I will go down and talk to Reed this weekend to come up with our tailgate game day thing for Sweet Creek. We're going to do that for every weekend We have these big games. I apologize for my voice. I slept with the window open. That may not have been the best choice with all the leaves coming down.
Yeah,
crackling leaves out there. So you didn't watch the debate last night. Lucky you.
No, I actually went and had dinner with Jack Campbell. So I was like, yeah, I'd rather do that. And then I had some fun. I watched one of my favorite podcast internet shows. So I was like, yeah, I can catch. I kind of know what they're saying already. And then I caught the highlights. I'm glad I didn't watch after seeing the highlights.
You dodged that bullet.
Yeah.
It's really funny. I mean, it was, talk about an uneventful evening. It just wasn't anything to it. We've got Hill and Holmes on the testifying today. We have the Republican side of the questioning that's going on right now. Then we'll get into the round robin in about 35 minutes, and we'll pick that up for you guys. Basically, Hill kind of refuted that the Ukraine thing, and she'd also written an op-ed back in 2005 saying we should not get involved by giving Ukraine lethal aid.
Sometimes the Russians obviously spread straight-up made-up propaganda. Stuff made out of whole cloth.
And she says it's on both sides.
But sometimes I think the Russians say things that are true that we just don't like being told. So I want to dig deeper. I think there was obviously some Ukrainian cooperation with the
DNC. There's a big difference of the basically the way the Ukraine thing, and you refer to the Politico story. Yeah. Basically what happened is the ambassador was asked by the DNC and through, we understand, State Department folks to make a statement against Donald Trump, and they did. And then another parliament, a member of parliament, basically said that the leadership in Ukraine want to see Hillary Clinton elected, not Donald Trump. They think Donald Trump would be bad for Ukraine.
Right, right. There's a tape of the guy who's the head of the anti-corruption police in Ukraine. His name's Artem Sitnik. He was convicted in court
of
interfering in the U.S. election. He's the guy who leaked the Black Ledger. And folks are like, well, but Manafort's in prison, isn't he? He was convicted, and so the ledger must be legit. The ledger wasn't used, I believe, in the trial.
No, it's tax evasion.
Right. So the ledger, which was part of the whole collusion narrative early on, was advanced by a Ukrainian.
Which misrepresented the amount of money that Paul Manafort got. Right. They had $3 million. He didn't get that.
Right.
So, but it was certainly interesting last night. Let's take it from this perspective. Let's start with Ed O'Keefe on the Democrat debate.
And the impeachment inquiry took center stage during a sometimes contentious presidential debate in Atlanta. 10 Democrats stood side by side for debate number 5 last night. Candidates sparred over issues like paid family leave, abortion rights, and voter suppression. Our Ed O'Keefe is in Atlanta. Ed, good morning. So what were your big takeaways from last night?
Well, Tony, they also discussed things like health care, climate change, and foreign policy. But it all began with an issue that the candidates rarely discuss on the campaign trail, that impeachment saga back in Washington.
We have a criminal living in the White House.
The candidates were all in agreement over the House impeachment inquiry.
I learned something about these impeachment trials. I learned, number one, that Donald Trump doesn't want me to be the nominee.
But Senator Bernie Sanders said it shouldn't consume the party.
We can deal with Trump's corruption, but we also have to stand up for the working families of this country.
And so the candidates dove into issues rarely discussed on a debate stage, including child care.
I would pass paid family leave as one of the first things we do.
6 months paid family leave is meant to and is designed to adjust to the reality of women's lives today.
There was also discussion of whether implementing government-run health care is too politically risky.
Let's bring as many people in and get as much help to the American people as we can, as fast as we can.
It couldn't pass the United States Senate right now with Democrats. It couldn't pass the House.
The candidates sparred over who had the best experience to be president.
Okay. Several things that I noticed, and we'll be talking about Buttigieg and Biden, but Klobuchar, she was literally, and I saw her do this one other time, she was shaking. When you looked at her, her shaking and her hair is kind of moving, wobbling there. And I'd seen her that one other time, but she had a lot of playtime last night. And I can see why she's not Now, as you can hear some people talk about that, they thought she had a good night. Had Cory Booker had a good night, and Buttigieg had a good night, but Klobuchar just didn't look too good. Let's continue on with Ed O'Keefe.
Women are held to a higher standard. Otherwise, we could play a game called Name Your Favorite Woman President, which we can't do because it has all been men.
Washington experience is not the only experience that matters. There's more than 100 years of Washington experience on this stage. And where are we right now as a country?
South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg has made recent gains in early state polling, but he still has a problem with support among black voters.
The question has to be, where you been and what are you going to do? And do you understand who the people are?
I completely agree. And I welcome the challenge of connecting with black voters in America who don't yet know me.
Former Vice President Joe Biden remained a popular target.
This week I hear him literally say that I don't think we should legalize marijuana. I thought you might have been high when you said it.
I'm trying to highlight his support, especially among black voters, but not without stumbling.
They know who I am. Three former chairs of the Black Caucus. The only African-American woman that ever been elected to the United States Senate.
What?
A range of people.
No,
my point
no, that's
is,
not true. True. The other
that's
one
not
is
true.
Here.
Well,
For many of the candidates, the campaigning continues today here in Georgia. The Peach State is one that Democrats hope to win next year, but that would require big turnout here in the Atlanta area. From there, the campaign scatters, especially back to Iowa, where there's just 74 days left until the first in the nation caucus.
Several things here. Kamala Harris, her problem is she is just not likable at all. She's less right. likable than she was a month ago. She just comes across that little laugh that she had with the first only elected black senator. I mean, she took that one to the bank. But Cory Booker in the pot and then Biden messing up.
Right.
Biden was just, it wouldn't make him bad gas, but he just didn't, it wouldn't smooth at all.
Right. And I do find Harris is grating on me. Like, and it's not. Good God, I know there are people. It's sexism. You're saying a woman's not likable. She's shrill, right? Uh-huh.
No, you, Gabby, you sure is, though.
I like Tulsi Gabbard, but also I think Amy Klobuchar would be plenty likable. I don't think she connects in a strong way, but it's not the same critique as I would throw at Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren, for instance. There's something about it that just rubs me the wrong way.
Kamala Harris, a little bit of Kamala Harris goes a long way, but indeed. Somebody needs to sit down with her and show her some video of her talking, and we're going to get to the dials here in a little bit, but she isn't likable. She is not likable, and that's why she's turning people off. She had that moment, she thought she was going to take the bacon home, and it's been downhill from there. News Show 93.1, the AMR Show will be back right after this.
Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Udell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Hi, everyone. It's the Blue Water Broadcasting Food Drive, and today we're at Cartridge World on the Atlanta Highway. We'll be here until 1 o'clock today. And all we're asking you to do is bring by a non-perishable food item, drop it off. You know, if we could get one item per person here in the River Region, how many people could we feed? My goodness. All you have to do is, when you go out shopping for Thanksgiving, is pick up an extra non-perishable food item, like a can of corn, can of green beans, macaroni and cheese, a box of stovetop stuffing. Hey, ramen noodles are even suitable. All we're doing is replacing food that the food bank is going to be taking out over the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays and giving these families a good holiday meal. Now, just because we get ramen noodles does not mean we're going to take ramen noodles out for the holiday meal. No, we're not. They're going to get a traditional holiday meal thanks to you. So help us out if you can. A non-perishable food item. We're at Cartridge World, Atlanta Highway, till 1 o'clock today. Come see us and help us out. Thank you.
On FM, on your smartphone, and online, the River Region's most trusted voice, News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Like a silent, can't wait for night. Yeah, the debate was interesting last night. We got a synopsis of what the silent effect is out there. And then we'll get takeaways from what's going on today with Hill and Holmes. The Holmes guy, I don't trust him. He reminds me way too much of these career bureaucrats I worked with in the embassies.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I have flashback dealing with it. Especially in his testimony of what he did. Because he went back to the embassy after the silent Trump phone call and told the chief of missions. And I have some real problems with that. Told a lot of staff members. I mean, what was their need to know that?
Right.
That's breaking a big old fat taboo. Okay, two Democrats they're going to assess the debate last night.
Democratic hopeful Elizabeth Warren taking aim at America's wealthy while defending her plan to tax their wealth.
Top 0.1% that I want to say pay 2 cents more, they'll pay 3.2% in America. I'm tired of freeloading billionaires. I think it's time that we ask those at the very top to pay more.
Freeloading billionaires. Here to discuss, we've got economic advisor to President Obama, Robert Wolf, and Don Peebles, a two-time member of President Obama's national. Don, who was the big winner last night, if one at all?
I think that Warren held her own, and Biden, it was his best night yet. I think Biden had a good night, and Cory Booker emerged as a more of a participant in the debate, and hopefully his vision is going to be somewhat contagious and people will react to it more.
All right, Robert?
Yeah, I would say it was a great night for Cory Booker, and Amy Klobuchar and Kamala had a strong performance, and they needed it because they're not right now in the front runner, and I think the four front runners kind of held their own and did what they needed to do, and Mayor Pete, you would have thought, would have been kind of the circular firing squad going at him, and they didn't.
Yeah, that's the guy that you see on Fox a lot that is the Obama economist that was there. And they kind of shake this thing down. It's now they're going to be talking about Mayor Pete and the moderates and what's happening here. Listen in.
You mentioned Mayor Pete. Here he is talking about Medicare for All and how divisive it is.
The reason I insist on Medicare for all who want it as the strategy to deliver on that goal we share of universal health care is that that is something that, as a governing strategy, we can unify the American people around. Creating a version of Medicare, making it available to anybody who wants it, but without the divisive step of ordering people onto it, whether they want to or not.
All right, Don.
Well, first of all, I don't think anybody wanted to waste their airtime attacking him. He is not going to be the Democratic nominee. No chance
Why
to be president.
Why do you say that?
I mean, because he hasn't really, he runs a city partially of about 15,000 people.
It's 15, one of the where poorest. Do you come up with that?
He has a strained relationship with the black community in his own city. He has police
well,
issues
Well, then why
with his
is
own
he
city.
Surging right now?
I mean, because there is a lack of alternatives. And I think the candidates that should be emerging, like a Cory Booker, for some reason have not emerged. I think Harris left a lot of airspace when she kind of fizzled out. And so the party's looking, and most people aren't paying attention as much as we are right now.
Okay, and Robert, regarding Mayor Pete and Medicare for All?
Yeah, I think he was spot on, and I think actually you've seen over the last few weeks that some of the limelight has been taken out of Elizabeth Warren because, for the most part, people don't want their private insurance taken away. Mm-hmm. At least 150 million people right. don't. And I think, number two, you've seen her pivot quickly. She called it a policy, then she called it a platform, then she said it's happening immediately, then she says it's going to happen in 3 years. I actually think Mayor Pete and Joe Biden and Klobuchar have been spot on the health care debate. And
well,
I think
because they're more moderate, and you think that only a moderate can win the general.
I think you have to, I think electability is key, and I think actually the party is center-left. We saw that in the midterms, okay, they flipped 41 red to blue seats. We saw that in the recent governorship, whether it's Kentucky or whether it's Louisiana. And I think what we're trying to say is, yes, they may be I think the moderates are the silent majority. I think where you hear everything's on the populist left, but those who vote right now, I think it's like 57% to moderate.
So what they're going to basically say is that you're going to get into a moderate and liberal breakdown of this whole thing. You can kind of feel, I think that may be why Buttigieg is doing so well, but he is going to have a problem with the South Carolina. But I just don't see how Kamala Harris is going to make it past California because she, I mean, every California poll I've seen has her in fifth or sixth place. That isn't good. And Mayor Pete beating her now. So let's continue on with our two Democrats on Warren and liberal moderate face-off.
Don, regarding Elizabeth Warren and her talking about the freeloading billionaires, is that a message that is resonating with the political left that votes in a primary?
No. In fact, I think it does to her far left on super liberal whites. But African-American voters, especially those in the South, they're much more aspirational. They believe in our capitalistic democracy, and they want to be more active participants. So they're going to be more responsive to what Cory Booker articulated last night. I think that her weakness is this class warfare, and that's why she's trying to moderate it. However, because there's so many of them, right now I think ultimately there will be a far-left candidate and a centrist candidate. Those two will emerge, and that will be what the long primary season will be about.
You get the final word.
Yeah, I agree with Don. I think actually last night Cory Booker went right after Warren on the wealth tax and said he went back to kind of Joe Biden's kitchen issue, kitchen table issues. We have to make sure we understand what we're giving people. How do we make their wages better? How do we help them with their skills? I actually thought it was a brilliant move by Cory going right after Warren, her supposed strength.
I tell you, watching that, Corey was humorous. Corey was kind of, timing was good. But I didn't see him really good at a lot of other things. Now, show 93.1, we'll get to the dials right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACB.
not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings, 6 till 9, and afternoons, 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Almost everyone has a pet, or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Pecans, pecans, pecans. Sweet Creek Farm Market has the largest selection of local pecans and pecan products in town. Whether they're for a gift or for your family, we have all types. Roasted and salted, honey roasted, praline, chocolate honey baked, or creamy white chocolate pecans. Don't miss the double chocolate bourbon pecan pies. Open on Black Friday. Follow Sweet Creek Farm Market on Facebook for specials. Sweet Creek Farm Market, 2 miles south of Taylor Road and Highway 231. In Pike Road.
Hello, this is Yasmin Holston with Beauty and Beyond. We've been advertising with Blue Water Broadcasting for 10 years plus. If you would like to increase your business, use Blue Water Broadcasting radio stations. They get results.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. One of the two witnesses today for the impeachment inquiry, a diplomat named David Holmes, testifies that he overheard President Trump on the phone with European Union Ambassador Gordon Sondland asking about investigations in Ukraine.
Ambassador Sondland held the phone away from his ear for a period of time, presumably because of the loud volume. I heard Ambassador Sondland greet the president and explain he was calling from Kyiv. I heard President Trump then clarify that Ambassador Sondland was in Ukraine.
He says Sondland told him after the call the president didn't care about Ukraine except for big stuff like the Biden investigation being pushed by his lawyer, Giuliani. Fiona Hill testifies about the increased partisanship in America.
This is exactly what the Russian government was hoping for.
She was a Russia analyst for the National Security Council and says something else the president wanted investigated, Ukrainian election meddling against him, is just fictional Russian propaganda. The president on Twitter calls these the most unfair hearings in American history. America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest truck lines. They need drivers right now. If you want to know what your home time and your paycheck is going to be every week, call Wiley Sanders right now. Family owned and operated. 855-777-9785.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Our quiet string of days with an extended warming trend will be ending soon, but today, a good bit of sunshine. High in the low to mid-70s, just about perfect. Partly cloudy, not as chilly tonight. Overnight low around 50. Tomorrow's high in the middle 70s. Will be dry during the day, but a good chance of showers by late Friday night, and showers and maybe some thunderstorms likely on Saturday as a cold front moves through the state. It'll be breezy and colder behind the front. 30s on Friday night, 50s for a high on Sunday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
When news happens, you'll hear about it first. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
.27292228, that's where we are. Okay, Lee Carter is going to be up next. Lee Carter is the person who does the Dallas on Fox and Friends, and she is really good. She's got a book out. She is she's doing these things under the Dallas. She's doing these things around the country where she is inviting people to come in to watch the debates or whatever events or look at footage of events and things like that and write it. And she's got... I think she's spot on in the way she does things. So here's Lee Carter talking about Bernie on Trump as the focus group. Listen.
All right, good morning. Welcome back. 10 of the top Democratic candidates making their pitches to voters in the fifth round of primary debates. So, what were the top moments and how did Americans react? We are talking to partner and president at Ms. Lansky & Partners, Lee Carter. So, let's start off talking about Bernie Sanders, because he had a moment that people are talking about saying we need to stop talking about the president. Listen to this.
We have a president who is not only a pathological liar, he is likely the most corrupt president in the modern history of America. But we cannot simply be consumed by Donald Trump. Because if we are, you know what? We're going to lose the election.
Seems like people were, though. I mean, Trump's name was mentioned 37 times last night.
I mean, not surprising. It seems to be their whole strategy is about who can beat Trump. Democrats gave this an A, independents C, and Republicans F. And the funny thing is, a lot of people said, we cannot be consumed with Trump, is what he's saying, except he spent the first half of the message saying about pathological liar, I'm going to take down Trump. And so there was some inconsistency. I think a lot of people agree. We want to hear about more than anti-Trump messaging, but move on with it.
You know, Bernie Sanders, the get off my lawn moment, that's him. That is so. He is,
yes.
He has now fossilized himself into that little piece. I thought he was going to be able to escape it when he was in the AOC and the younger general, you know, general kind of guy. He is just stuck. He's fossilized himself. And I would say I did something I didn't normally do not do, is I took notes. So I was sitting there, I had my computer out, I had my WordPad up, and so I could just do these copious notes there. And every time we got to Bernie, he was doing the exact same thing. I see exactly why he's falling in the polls now. I mean, why? It's kind of like, why? Why would you vote for him? What's attractive about him? Where Elizabeth Warren there is an attractive measure to her in the way she presents things, the way she talks about things. She's very kind of holistic, kind of big picture, not argumentative towards you. And Pete Buttigieg came across very, very likable. If I wasn't so heterosexual, I'd say, it's nice looking. But those blue eyes, the way he would, his mannerism, the way he would hold himself, he's the shortest guy on the debate stage. When they do a pullback shot, you kind of go, ooh, there's a big difference. Like, come on, Harris, go whip your butt, type of thing. But I thought he did a very good job. So now the dial's on Biden. No case for Joe.
Let's talk about Joe Biden now, talking about his experience.
To be commander-in-chief, there's no time for on-the-job training. I've spent more time in the Situation Room, more time abroad, more time than anybody up here. I know every major world leader. They know me, and they know when I speak, if I'm the president of the United States, who we're for, who we're against, and what we'll do, and we'll keep our word.
See, by that line, it seems like Democrats liked it, but I feel like in a lot of the polls, Democrats aren't really sure about him still at this point.
You know, he is still, by and large, the front runner in many, many polls. But you look at this, it's kind of flatline. There's the enthusiasm for him just isn't there. You can see Democrats gave it a B, independents a C, Republicans a D. It was just fine. But this is very much like what Hillary Clinton did last time. Running on experience is not enough for folks. Yeah. What are you going to do for me? What is different about a Joe Biden presidency than anything else? And he hasn't made that case.
That is the note that I put down. I said he is making the HRC claim. And you remember how she would say, you got to be ready on day one. You got to be able to answer the call at 3 o'clock in the morning. And she made that exact case that I'm the most qualified person that's out there, most qualified woman who's ever run for president. Please just don't keep hating me the way you do. And it's just Joe. That Joe that we loved and knew before, and that kind of Uncle Joe type thing, it's like he's lost it. It's like it's gone.
Right.
I don't know if he's trying to tap down on it too much, trying to hold it too tight, and but he pauses too much. He's unsure of himself. The mistake about the first U.S. black U.S. senator, man.
No, and he is different. Like, he's not as sharp as he used to be, certainly, but let's also remember he's still the same. Joe Biden has never been a good presidential candidate.
No.
Until Barack Obama kind of picked him out of the trash heap and said, you can be my VP. And I think he did well for what Obama needed.
And he did it because of the moderate philosophy. Right. And he no longer has a moderate philosophy. Okay, so now the dial's on Pete. Mayor Pate and the conclusion here. Listen in.
So this week we've spent a lot of time talking about Pete Buttigieg's rise in some of the polls, specifically Iowa and New Hampshire. So let's listen to what he had to say last night on who he is and his background.
I don't talk a big game about helping the working class while helicoptering between golf courses with my name on them. I don't even golf. As a matter of fact, I never thought I'd be on a Forbes magazine list, but they did one of all the candidates by wealth, and I am literally the least wealthy person on this stage.
Great line.
I also wore the uniform of this country and know what is at stake in the decisions that are made in the Oval Office in the Situation Room.
Mayor Pete had a really good night last night. He's had a really good time lately. You can see Democrats gave him a B+, Independents a C, and Republicans a C. For Republicans to give him a C, I think he made a case that he's the moderate. I think he talked about, you know, he was in uniform. He seemed very authentic and real and comfortable in his own skin. I think he had a very, very good night, and I think we're going to see him continuing to surge in the polls. You know, you wonder if it's enough. We had a debate yesterday on our show, and we were talking about can he be the person who's going to get the minority votes, and that's still to be determined. But, you know, he does have an uphill battle to climb, but in that soundbite specifically, he was relatable to a lot of people.
That's absolutely right. He's very, very relatable. He's very authentic. He wears his heart in his sleeve. The problem I have right now in watching all this is, where is that huge surge of enthusiasm behind him? You don't see it, and you don't see it really for any of the Democrat candidates except for Elizabeth Warren with a small part of her base. But when Donald Trump was on his rise, you saw it. You felt it with that certain base. You don't see much getting above a B here, and that's not getting
it's
it.
It's not good.
I thought it was interesting to see by Republicans, because remember that Biden got a D- from Republicans. I mean, from the Independents also. Mayor Pete's going to be an interesting guy to watch, a very interesting guy to watch, particularly if he does well in California.
And if he doesn't get enough traction in the South and on Super Tuesday, he could very well be a very good vice presidential pick.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is so well-spoken.
But for whom?
Right. Right, and that's, I don't have that quite, you know, figured out in my own
mind. Yeah,
we
haven't gotten that one, huh?
Because there is no clear front runner. That's where I'm having trouble.
Well, the clear front runner is undecided.
Right.
That's who's got the majority of the vote.
And I feel like this Democratic Party is the only thing that's really holding them together still is their disdain for the president, for Donald Trump. It is not the idea of the Obama coalition being the strong force moving forward. No, that was more than people thought, more of a cult of personality around the man, Barack Obama. And you're seeing all these issues of the different, you know, identity politics boxes are not playing well together. And then the far left, kind of the people who have traction on Twitter and social media, they're not playing well with, I think, you could call them whatever, lunch pail, hard hat, you know, regular American Democrats who aren't all, you know, these elite liberal types. So it's interesting. The Democrat Party's having an identity crisis in the mix of their identity politics. And this is, I guess, why they're focused on impeachment. So
well, and the other part that I think is very interesting is that when you look at that, for example, they did a snapshot of Wisconsin, and they put Donald Trump up against the kind of the League of Democrats. He beat every single one of them.
Right.
Every one of them.
And Trump doesn't need to win Minnesota, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania to win the election again, win re-election. He only needs really like one of them.
Yeah, if he gets Wisconsin, then, and he does everything else right and keeps Arizona, then he's got it.
Yeah,
he's there. But I think it's going to be different. I think that it's going to be a moderate to liberal, and I think the liberal is going to win out because the moderate will implode. Because if you look at the two moderates, it's Joe Biden and it's Pete Buttigieg. And they're two people that have some potential to implode. Those are the two that are on there.
I do love your idea, though, that you brought up yesterday, just for our own sake, entertainment's sake, is a brokered convention on national television.
Oh, thank you, Lord!
That would be so much fun.
That would be so much fun. God, I mean, matter of fact, somebody had heard me say that, and when they were talking to me about Jeff Sessions, they were talking about that. And it really is. It's so different with having electronic news gathering and the 24-hour news cycle, and how much assets are there to go do this thing. Remember, the other interesting part is the Democrats are doing their convention in Wisconsin.
Oh, right.
Which Trump is beating everybody in Wisconsin right now, which is saying Wisconsin ain't buying it. It ain't the dog. It's the dog food. Okay, so now let's move on to Newt Gingrich is going to be talking about the debate last night.
The losers from last night.
Well, I think Buttigieg is a winner because he's surging, and despite Tulsi Gabbard's best efforts, I don't think she seriously damaged him. I think, first of all, that the big loser is the Democratic Party. I mean, the number one reality about these debates is they're boring. They're standard politicians saying standard things. And what made the Republican debates in 2016 so different was they were a reality show with Donald Trump, and people watched him because you didn't know what Trump was going to do.
Yep.
Trump didn't know what he was going to do. and they had a quality of being alive. But if you watch these folks, they're gone through their numbers. They're saying what they say. They've been coached. They've been consulted. They've been focus grouped. But as the audience down in Atlanta said earlier on your show, it's all kind of staged and it's boring and it doesn't get at real life. And I think combined with how boring the impeachments are, the Democrats are working very hard to become the boring right. party. And that's dangerous when you're up against a president who has spent 13 years in reality television.
You know, I was going back and I was looking at the polling for Trump in 2016. And what happened is he started, he kind of started out in a good position. He fell a little bit short in Iowa, did one in New Hampshire, one huge in South Carolina. And then it was just win. And people were dropping out. Remember, Rubio tried to hang in until Florida?
Right. He tried to do his own impersonation of Trump, insulting Trump, and that backfired.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing. You remember, Jeb was the big guy, and he got knocked out early because of New Hampshire, because he should have won that.
And then Ted Cruz stayed strong, but.
And, well, he tried to hang in until Texas, and then when he lost in Texas, he's kind of like, I'm out of here.
Well, and it's hard to beat, like, lying Ted. He holds the Bible high, then he lies. Like, Trump does have a gift for saying things that are just memorable. You remember it years later.
But all these guys are kind of stuck in this one place together, and the undecideds were not the majority. And if you go back and look at the polling, Trump started winning people over. He got to Super Tuesday. And you heard Newt Gingrich, well, you're going to hear it in a little bit, but we did the Newt Gingrich rally here, met Newt, and it was a good rally. It wasn't a great rally, it was a good rally, but he was on top, and then he just, as he's going to say, he just started falling. News on 93.1, the Dan Moore Show, we're going to be back right after this.
Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Coleman. My husband, Jeff Coleman, is running for U.S. Congress. I bet you've seen Jeff's name and face on billboards and on the sides of moving trucks parked all over the district. Because when Jeff decides to do something, he does it big. And if you look really hard, you'll see my picture, our three girls, and our dog, Gracie, too. What I really wanted to talk to you about is Jeff, his background, and why he'd make such an incredible congressman. But I guess that'll have to wait, because they're telling me I'm out of time. But I'll be back here soon to tell you more about my husband, Jeff Coleman.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message, paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
.279228, that's where we are. Newt Gingrich does a good job on his commentary. He's I like his insight and the way he pulls things together. Now he's been talking about why Mayor Pete is surging here. Listen in.
Why Mayor Pete is surging?
I think because he's not the others. I think there are a lot of Democrats who look up and they go, oh, not Sanders again. And then I think there was a brief period where Elizabeth Warren was really gaining momentum until people realized that she actually wanted to take away their health insurance. And at that point, Medicare for All became a disaster. And it's been dragging her down ever since she explained it. I think that, Biden is Biden. I mean, if you really think, look at the clip you had a minute ago. If you really think that telling people you spent 8 years in the White House in Washington is a big winner, you represent a very small part of America. I mean, most of America wants to change Washington, not hire somebody who's an expert in Washington. Mm-hmm. And that's as true, I think, of the Democrats as it was in 2016 of the Republicans. And every time a Republican would say, oh, I've been a governor or I've been a senator, people say thought so, and they'd write them off. And that left Trump. I think here you have a situation where there's no natural Trump, and Buttigieg comes as close to being a total outsider as anybody on the stage.
Let me give you an example of, you're going to have to get this in the montage, it's the debate montage number two, but listen to what Elizabeth Warren talks about in her wealth tax. She talks about 2 cents.
Donald Trump doesn't want me to be the nominee. That's pretty clear. I found out that Vladimir Putin doesn't want me to be president.
No one is above the law. We have a constitutional responsibility, and we need to meet it.
But we cannot simply be consumed by Donald Trump. Because if we are, you know what? We're going to lose the election.
Top 0.1% that I want to say pay 2 cents more, they'll pay 3.2% in America. I'm tired of freeloading billionaires. I think it's time that we ask those at the very top to pay more.
I think that it's unfortunate that we have someone on the stage who is attempting to be the Democratic nominee for President of the United States, who during the Obama administration spent 4 years full-time on Fox News criticizing President Obama.
Criticizing
people on this stage as affiliated with the Democratic Party.
What Senator Harris is doing is unfortunately continuing to traffic in lies and smears and innuendos because she cannot challenge the substance of the argument that I'm making, the leadership and the change that I'm seeking to bring in our foreign policy, which only makes me guess that she will, as president, continue the status quo.
Tulsi basically smacked her around with that, and Kamala didn't hear. But did you hear that? I'm asking them to pay an extra 2 cents. 2 cents. 2 cents on every dollar, not just 2 cents. But see, that's what I do not like about Elizabeth Warren. She's dishonest in the way she presents things. It's not 2 cents. It's 2%. It's not one time. It's every single year on everything you own.
A money that's already been taxed, or it's money that's not even liquid. So how many billionaires and millionaires are going to be selling assets? How does that affect the stock market? European countries have tried this. It was an utter failure. It's just a bad idea.
It's a terrible idea, and the main thing is that just deceptive, dishonest.
Yeah.
And she holds up her finger and goes, I just want them to pay 2 cents. Two more cents. Now, that sounds fine, but that's not what she's really meaning. And that it's that dishonest persuasion that she has. Now, Newt's going to talk about being high in the polls and being low in the polls. He's going to listen to what he went through.
When you begin to drop and you don't make that stage, and there's two more people, Deval Patrick and Mike Bloomberg, I guess, who are going to come well-financed and back to get there, how much longer do you stay in? I mean, it's already too many people. There were six that didn't even make the cut. You know what it's like to be high. You know what it's like to begin to drop. What's going to decide when these people drop out?
Well, let me say, first of all, that in the periods where I was the front runner, it felt much better than when I was dropping. So
that's what,
it's it's a remarkably human process. And you're there and your supporters are there and you think, here's the challenge. If they drop out, they're gone. It's over.
Yeah.
So they have this sense of, oh, well, maybe the next debate. And Tulsi Gabbard's a good example. I think she's done very, very well. But she's an outlier for the Democrats, and it's very hard for her to get above probably 4 or 5%. But she's very good on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
By contrast, to my great shock, as you'll remember, 8 or 9 months ago, I was on this show, and I said I thought Kamala Harris was the most likely nominee.
Right.
She's been such a bad candidate
that
every time she shows up on the stage, she drops more.
Yeah.
So I think it's very hard for them. And I would also say this. It's getting very late for newcomers. I mean, Bloomberg and Patrick are both going to find that there are states they can't get on the ballot anymore, that there are situations they can't get organized. Now, Bloomberg has so much money that he can probably mount a national campaign just by sheer weight of money. But whether or not he'll spend that much money, it would take $1 billion to prop up Bloomberg.
And he's spot on with all that, because you remember, she has pulled her staff in New Hampshire. She's strictly in Iowa. Pete Buttigieg is in Iowa, but he's in Iowa with a big footprint. I think he's got 20-plus offices that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Staff, he's going around, he's seeing people, he's doing what you need to do in Iowa. But he's also doing the same thing in New Hampshire, just not as much, and he's going to try to transition that over. Kamala Harris, if she loses Iowa, which is all indications that she won't even show up in the top four with, she'll either be 5, 6, or 7. And she won't do anything in New Hampshire. She won't do anything in South Carolina unless all of a sudden they decide, well, we want a black candidate. Then she's got everything's banked on California for Super Tuesday. She's not going to do well in Nevada. So, I mean, what should you do, panhandle in California, try to raise money, and hopefully you can get some delegates? It's based on a 15% count. You got to get at least 15% of the vote. News Talk 93.1, Dan Morris Show, we're going to be back second hour right after this.